Welcome to the Watoto Church podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Welcome, Watoto Church. It is an honor and privilege to be sharing the Word of God with you this day. My name is Kenneth, like you've heard, and I know that you have been blessed through this series just as I have. And so I want us to just dive in right now and get into God's Word. But before we do that, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We honor you for today. Lord, we ask that you, who knows where each one of us is on our journey with you, will customize this word for each one of us. Make it a word in season for each one of us, wherever we are, whoever we are. We commit this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, today we're going to be reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, but we're going to be reading from verse 17 all the way to chapter 5 and verse 20. So let's read together. If you are in your home, wherever you are, just stand, get your Bible, get your iPhone or your phone. Let's read together the Word of God. Let's declare it in our homes and wherever we are watching from. Chapter 4, verse 17 says this: "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful to building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes upon those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understanding what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, what a word. You know, God is speaking to us in this season. In the last three chapters, we have learned about this incredible, amazing gift of salvation. We have learned about this new family that God has given us birth into. We have learned about this incredible opportunity we have to be a part of a family. And I want to tell you that this is not just a simple thing that we can take for granted. It is a special, special thing. We were planned for. The Bible tells us that the Lamb of God was slain, the foundation of time, meaning we were not an afterthought. We were planned for. Jesus Christ came to die for us so that we could be saved and not condemned. So the Father has loved us, and He has brought this love through Jesus Christ. But you know what, friends? We have become part of a family that now has inherited this mandate and mission to show, to bring the love of Jesus to the whole world. And last week, Pastor James spoke about the incredible importance of unity in the body, the gifts that have been given to this body, and the purpose that has been given to the body of Christ. And because of that purpose, I believe Paul begins to shift and begins to speak. He starts chapter 4 with a strong suggestion. And he says, listen, you need to live according to the calling that you have been given. Live worthy according to the call that you have been given. But then in chapter 17, he moves from a strong suggestion to a command. In chapter 4, verse 17 to 19, I want us to just read that quickly again. He says, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. Why has Paul switched? Why has he moved from, come on, we have a worthy calling, live up to it, to now saying, I insist? I think it's because of the monumental, incredible call that you and I have in the body of Christ. You and I have inherited this call from our Lord Jesus Christ. He has passed on this responsibility to us to be a light, to be a source of hope into the world. I like what Pastor Gary says. He says, the church is the hope of the world. Nothing else is. The church is. In this portion of scriptures, I want to just highlight three things I believe that Paul says to us if we are going to achieve this mission. The first thing he says is that you and I must put off our old way of thinking, our old way of behaving. And then he says we must be renewed in our minds. I want to say it this way. We need an upgrade as believers in certain areas of our minds. And then when we have been upgraded, Paul says to us, hey, now put on a new way of thinking, a new way of behaving. And Paul says all of this in chapter 20 to all the way to 23. And I want us to read it, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. He says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Friends, this is God's call for our life. Paul is telling us that number one, if we are going to fulfill God's call for our lives, if you as a stay-home mother, if you as a CEO, a Christian CEO, if you as a businessman, wherever you are, wherever God has blessed you as your area of ministry and influence, if you are going to live out God's call for your life, you need to put off the old self, first and foremost. Paul says it this way to us in the Message version. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 22 says, since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I mean everything, connected with the old way of life has to go. It is rotten through and through. Get rid of it. The words Paul uses here are not passive words. They are words that call us to a responsibility to put off our old self. This is not just something that we raise our hands up in the air and keep praying and then it goes. No, this is something that you and I have to intentionally wage war against, intentionally be intentional about and put off. Paul says these words and these things that we need to put off. I believe this list is not full. Every one of us knows the areas that God wants us to get rid of concerning our old nature. Verse 25, Paul begins to highlight the things that we need to put off. He says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Verse 26 says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work. Verse 29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 31, Paul says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. In chapter 5, verse 3, Paul highlights that among you, there must be not even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Friends, Paul consistently raises the standard for us. He highlights areas in our past that we must put off. How do we do this? I know many times when the word of God speaks to us and calls us to a standard, sometimes we're wondering, but Pastor Ken, how do I do that? Yes, I struggle with anger. Yes, I struggle with this and the other. I know that in my old life, this was a habit, but it's crossed over into salvation. How do I get rid of it? I found a scripture that really, really, for me, highlights how to do this. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. This is what it says. It says, blessed is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down where the scornful gather. And so I feel like there are three things that we can do. And I'm sure there might be many as the Lord leads you. But just I want to pick three things here that we can do. Number one, we need to pay attention to the people who we are with. Some of us might need to get rid of the old friends we had. Because you see, bad company corrupts good morals. Some of us might need to deal with the places that we used to go to. Because those places can be triggers to old habits. I used to drink. I avoid bars, okay? Because I don't want to get triggered, okay? There are certain things that I used to do, and I know the places I used to do them, and I avoid those places. Thirdly, some of us need to change what we see and hear, okay? The counsel of the ungodly. Some of us need to stop watching certain kinds of movies. Maybe you need to get off social media because those areas are a trigger in our lives. So Paul says, number one, we need to put off the old way of thinking and the old way of behaving. But secondly, Paul says that we are to put off the old self in order to be made new, to be renewed. When I read this scripture, this verse, actually it's in verse 23, it says, be made new in the attitudes of your minds. The first thing that came to my mind is how, you know, those of us that drive, your driving license expires. And when it expires, you go and trade it in for a new one. You get an upgrade. Recently, my phone started giving me notifications and saying, hey, you need an upgrade. There's a new upgrade. There's a new operating system. And if you know this, if you use a smartphone, you know that if you stick to the old operating system, certain things just begin to fail. The phone starts to crash. Certain apps don't work. And so Paul is telling us, friends, that if we are going to fulfill God's call for our lives, we cannot walk into the new with some of the old, because it's going to begin to cause challenges in our walk, in our ability to reach where God has called us. So Paul calls us, friends, to be renewed in our minds. We cannot go forward with the old. And so this scripture says that we are to put off the old self in order to be renewed. It's almost as though the old has to go first. I cannot get a new driver's license, friends, having an old one. They always take the old one. In fact, with the passports, they punch holes in it. Why? Because you cannot go into the new having the old. And so the scriptures tell us that we need to get rid of the old in order to be renewed. How do we do this? It is simple. We are renewed by submitting to the leading of the Holy Spirit in the everyday simple things of our lives. Lastly, Paul says that we are to then put on this new way of thinking. As we submit to the Holy Spirit, as we submit to God in our daily lives, friends, I believe in the simple things, how we talk to our children, how we speak to our wives, in the simple things. Don't wait to be led on whether to stand for president or whether to be the next, you know, most important person in the world. Be led on the simple ones. Allow him to change the way you think, your attitudes, in the simple things. And in that leading, God begins to teach us the new way of living, a new way of doing things. And friends, the Bible tells us that sometimes this process, I know, is a bit difficult in the beginning. It feels like we are just doing things. It's just about works and doing that and not doing this. And I want to tell you that in the beginning, that is true. That in the beginning, there is a bit of discipline. We need to be intentional. We have to do certain things to help us, to help this body change the way it's thinking, to help our mind change the way it's thinking. The writer of the book of Hebrews says this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10 to 14. He says, for our earthly fathers disciplined us for only a short period of time and chastised us as seemed proper and good to them. But he, and this is speaking about God, disciplines us for our certain good, that we may become sharers in his holiness. This is it. This is the goal, that we can be like God, that we can shine and be the light wherever we are. This is the call of the body of Christ, to be the light, to be representatives, to be ambassadors. But it's going to take a bit of discipline, friends. It's going to take a bit of action from us. Verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 12 says, for the time being, no discipline brings joy, but seems grievous and painful. But afterwards, friends, afterwards, the scripture says it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Righteousness means right standing with God. That sense of I am in the center of the will of God. This is what this discipline that God is sharing with us, speaking to us, is going to bring in our lives. I mean, who does not want to have that sense in their hearts? When you are in that workplace and you know that you're smack in the will of God, that is the most amazing feeling, amazing sense that any one of us would want to have. So it says, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. A harvest of fruit which consists in righteousness, in conformity to God's will in purpose, thought, and action. As you and I, friends, begin to put on this new way of thinking, this new way of behaving, this scripture tells us it will affect our purpose. It will affect the way we think, but it will also begin to affect our actions. And so I want to just highlight a few things that these things have been helpful to me. These things have helped me to put on a new way of thinking. And I want to highlight them to you very quickly. So the first thing that I want to tell you that has been a blessing to my life is that you start reading the Word of God. Schedule a time. Set aside some time to study God's Word. Sit down and learn from Him. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. You want to know who He is? You want to understand the new way of thinking, a new way of acting that Jesus Christ has prescribed for us? Get into God's Word. Study it. The second thing that we can do is, again, schedule time to pray. Friends, you have been invited into a family by the head of the home. And so when you come into that home, make time for Him. You know, sometimes we're in a generation of people who are, you know, together but not together. We are on our phones, we are, you know, social media, on many, many things, and we don't spend time together. We don't spend time face to face with one another. Put aside the phone, put aside the busyness, and just spend some time with Jesus. As you do that, I want to tell you, you will learn from Him. You will understand His way of thinking, His way of doing things. Cross-check things with Him. And I can tell you, the Bible says that my sheep hear my voice. You will learn to hear His voice. Thirdly, find a Bible-believing, life-giving church. Friend, if you are born again and you don't belong to a local church, a Bible-believing, life-giving, Jesus-preaching church, find one. You cannot survive. You cannot grow on your own. Every one of us needs to be a part of a local family that looks after us, that we serve in, that we have fellowship with regularly. Be a part of a small group here at Watoto Church. God has called us to be a small group church. And the reason is that in that small group, there's accountability. We share experiences. God speaks to us through others. We learn from others' experiences, and we learn what not to do. Friend, you don't need to learn from experience always. Experience is not exactly a good teacher, but you can learn from others. You can avoid mistakes in life. You can learn new things as you just interact with fellow believers. I want to conclude today with this scripture that is such an encouragement, that's been a friend, that's enabled me to run my race, and I am still using it and praying over it frequently. This is what the scripture says in Hebrews 12, verse 13. It says, therefore then, since we are surrounded, friends, by a great cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance or unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily and cleverly clings to and entangles us, and let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. I want to encourage you, friends. The writer of Hebrews is saying, because of those men, there's a cloud of witnesses. There are men and women who have given their lives, sacrificed their lives for the gospel, sacrificed their lives that we would know the truth. Because of those men and women, this scripture says, let us put off, let us throw off and run with patient endurance the course God has given to us. If you are looking for motivation, here it is. I want to encourage you, friends, let us put off this old way of thinking, this old way of behaving. Let's get an upgrade. Let's get renewed in our minds, in the attitude of our minds. Let's put on this new way of thinking and behaving. Why? So that, friends, we can fulfill God's call for our lives. So that those who do not know Jesus, just by looking at who we are, can give their lives to Christ. I love you. I believe God is speaking to you today. And I'm praying that you today will determine in your heart to get an upgrade, to be renewed, to put off, and to put on. Amen. Amen. You know, today, you might have been watching with us and you do not know Jesus Christ. You have never surrendered your life to Him. But I want to read to you a scripture. I believe it's the most incredible scripture in the Bible, because it's God expressing His love for you and me. John chapter 3, verse 16 to 19 says this. For God so greatly loved, dearly prized the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Friends, the scripture continues and says, for God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge the world, to reject it or condemn it, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. Today, would you trust in Jesus? I know you've been listening to me, and I believe God is speaking to you. Would you give your heart to Christ? Would you surrender your life wherever you are? I know that God is speaking to you. All you need to do is just say this simple prayer. Say it from the bottom of your heart. Say, Father in heaven, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he came and died for our sins. Today I surrender my heart to him. I ask that this day my name will be written in the Lamb's book of life. I give you my life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Friends, if you say that prayer, I want to hear from you. Would you just write to us, leave a comment in the section wherever you're watching from. Just let us know that you have given your life to Christ. We love you. God bless you. And have an incredible, incredible week.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portotochurch.com.